But I would, if you will, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Acts.
Yes.
To the book of Acts. As we look this morning at the resurrection of our Lord, I want to look at one thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, brought out about this as he stood before Agrippa. And so we'll be in Acts chapter 26 this morning. I give you opportunity, and I'm going to read the first eight verses. So Acts chapter 26, we'll read the first eight verses. If you have your Bibles, and when you find your place there, I would ask you, if you'll rise for the reading of the Word. Again, we do this out of respect for the Word of God, and for no other reason. We'll read here, because I want to read more than the one verse. I want you to have an understanding of what's going on. Acts chapter 26, the first eight verses. Says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And verse 8 is where I want to preach from. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Lord, this morning, and I ask you, Lord, help me to preach this. You've laid upon my heart. Help us all, Lord. Rejoice in your rising this morning, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, that you would again visit us, your children. And Lord, that you would fill us with that joy, Lord, of knowing that the victory is won. And I pray you these things, Lord Jesus, in your name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Why should you think it a thing incredible? A thing incredible I want to deal with this morning. This is the only time in the Bible the word incredible is ever mentioned. Now, we mention the word incredible a lot. And, of course, you know how Americans are. Everything, we say everything bigger than it is. We say the cheeseburger's awesome. There ain't nothing about a cheeseburger that inspires awe in nobody. But, you know, we say everything bigger than it really is. And we use words. Incredible's one of them. We'll say, boy, that was just an incredible supper. I don't know why food's on my mind, brother. But we'll say that something's incredible. We don't know what the word means. Incredible means not credible. That means not to be believed. It's unbelievable. Of course, we use unbelievable the wrong way too. We say things are unbelievable when they're very believable. And incredible, if you want to understand here what Paul's saying, he says, why do you think it's a thing not to be believed? Why don't you believe it, is what he's saying. What's standing in your way, Agrippa? And by the way, Agrippa was well-versed in the Jews' religion. That was a religion that he supposedly believed. And the Jews' religion did believe in resurrection from the dead and did believe in a Messiah. And by the way, Messiah and Christ are the same word. Messiah is Hebrew, Greek is Christ is Greek, same word. Christ is a title, not a name. And so they did believe that there was going to be a Christ, a Messiah. They did believe in resurrection from the dead. So Paul says, well, Jesus, the Christ, raised from the dead. Why is that so incredible? Why is that unbelievable with you? And so that's what I want to look at this morning. I've told you, this is Christian Independence Day. See, this is the day where we celebrate the fact that we're not under bondage to this world. Oh, I know our bodies are in this world, and we're in this world until our bodies die. But we have independence from the bondage of this world and from the drudgery and the work of this world through Jesus Christ, our Lord, because He raised from the dead. And why is this so hard for this world to believe? Why is it that, considering that what they have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ, why is it there are so few that will believe? Why is it a thing incredible? And so I'll answer my own question, I suppose, here. This world fights against this, that Jesus would rise from the dead. They may acknowledge it in their heads, but they won't acknowledge it in their hearts. First off, they'll tell you, it's not possible, see? It's not possible that a dead body could come to life. It's not possible you could get life from a dead body. But yet they'll believe that you'll get life from dead rocks. That's what theory of evolution says,
right?
That you get life from dead rocks, and which came from nowhere, by the way. And so we say that God created it out of nowhere, and God brings life. And they say, no, it created itself out of nowhere, and by itself it brought life. So we believe almost the same thing, only we believe there's a God and they don't.
Amen.
And if you get down to why, that they think it's not credible, not possible, that Jesus Christ could rise from the dead, the real issue is they don't believe in God.
That's right.
Amen. Now, they may say they believe in God, but if you say you believe it, look, I was there for all them years. I didn't get saved as a little child. I got saved as an adult, a grown man. And though I said I believed in God, and I believed there was a God, I didn't believe in God. There's a difference. There's a difference. You can believe there is a God without believing in Him. If you believe in Him, that means everything you believe is based on Him. That means you believe He's right, and not what everybody tell you on a TV show or in a magazine or on the internet. That's not what's right. What's right is what God says. See, that's believing in Him. If you tell me you believe in God but you won't follow any of His commandments, you're a liar.
That's right.
I mean, that's the only word I know to call it. You really don't believe in Him. To believe in Him means that we follow Him in everything. And so they don't believe in God is the thing about it. This world don't. Now, see, there's a problem here with Easter, because with the resurrection, I should say. Because if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and if this world will acknowledge that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there's a problem because it means some things that they don't like. First thing, it means God exists.
Amen.
Because how can He rise from the dead if God don't exist? You tell me. I've been to many a funeral. I've been to some of them working. I've been to some of them in my family. But in all the funerals I've been to, I've never seen anybody get up out of that casket. How can a man rise from the dead after being dead, not just for 30 seconds, but for 3 days, and buried? How can he get up from the dead except that God exists? So if we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the first thing is we believe God exists. And if you acknowledge that God raised Jesus from the dead, first thing is you acknowledge that God exists.
Right.
Now the second thing is that if Jesus rose from the dead, and yet that means first off that he had to die. And if he was the Son of God and he died, that excludes any kind of works of our own. Because if anything we could do would be good enough, why would he die?
That's right.
Why would he die? See, if there was any other way to be perfected and make it to heaven, if I could follow a formula down at the church house, and a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Told you last night, I'll never tell you a word to pray. Never. Because that's between you and God.
That's right.
That's His business.
Amen.
And if I tell you, you repeat this and you're saved, besides making myself a liar, I'll get you believing something besides Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
Salvation is between God and an individual.
Amen.
It's not the process of going through the right rituals.
No.
It's not. That's not it. If that were it, why would Jesus Christ die?
Right.
Why would He die?
Right.
See, if we acknowledge He's raised from the dead, we have to acknowledge He died.
Amen.
And if we acknowledge He died, we acknowledge there's no other way that we can come up with. If our religious works could do it, if we could simply go to religious services, if we could do whatever the preacher said, and that would get us to heaven, why, tell me, did He die?
That's right. Yeah.
Right. He died for our sins because nothing we could do would ever pay for those sins.
That's right.
Nothing we could do would ever cover those sins. It took His blood to cover those sins. And it took the death of a perfect sacrifice, a perfect sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. So if He rose from the dead, first, God exists. Second, His death excludes our self-righteousness. Third, His resurrection. Now I said His death proves that nothing we can do would be good enough. His resurrection proves that He alone was righteous. I told you I've never seen nobody else rise from the dead. So nobody else then was righteous enough. So that means that only Jesus. By the way, Buddha is dead and buried and never rose from the dead. Muhammad is dead and never rose from the dead. And all the leaders of all the other religions are dead and they never rose from the dead. The fact that Jesus did rise from the dead proves that He alone was righteous. He is. And that means, following that, since He's the only one that was righteous, that means that it truly is true that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Now, you and I are children of God, but we're not begotten sons of God. We're created. We're adopted. But begotten means of God. See, the angels were created of God. Though they be called the sons of God, they're not begotten. Begotten means of God. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And the fact that He rose from the dead proves it. Proves it that He is the only one. So therefore, He's the only one you can listen to. He's the only one who has the way. He really is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Amen. I told you I wouldn't go long, and I probably won't. Now then, the next thing is, if death is defeated, see, because for Jesus to rise from the dead, death has to be defeated. And if death is defeated, then evil is defeated. Because there's nothing more evil than death. I don't know of anything causes sadness in a family more than death. I don't know of anything causes more destruction than death. When a man dies, he loses everything he owns. And that's true. At the moment a man dies, he no longer owns anything. Nothing is more evil than death.
That's right.
And so when Jesus rose from the dead, He defeated not only death, but evil itself.
That's right.
But now if evil is defeated, then that means sin must be judged.
Right.
And if sin, y'all pardon my voice, but I've been preaching 4 nights, and I've been having a good time. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but I've been enjoying it. But if evil's defeated, sin must be judged. And now here's where we get down to it. If sin must be judged, then we must be judged. Because everybody who lives knows in their heart they have done wrong.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we ask this question, when is a person old enough to be saved? Well, you're old enough to ask for mercy when you're old enough to be guilty.
That's right.
It's what we call the age of accountability. In other words, you're old enough to be saved when you're old enough to go to hell.
Right.
Now that's scary, isn't it?
Amen.
We want to say you're old enough to be saved at 3 or 4, but you can't go to hell until you're 18 or 20. But y'all, it don't work that way.
No.
Whenever you're old enough to know you're guilty before God, whenever you're old enough that the Spirit of God Himself has showed you that you're guilty, you're old enough either to reject Jesus Christ or to believe on Him.
Yes.
At that point, you have that choice.
Amen.
You have that choice.
Yes.
See, we know we must be judged. We know we must be judged. And so this is why this world thinks it's a thing incredible that Jesus rose from the dead. Because it does not want to face the fact that Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection, amen, His resurrection, shows that this world must be judged.
That's right.
But thank God. Thank God he did rise from the dead.
Amen.
And thank God, before he ever died, he told us in John 3:16, the verse that you know so well, that God so loved the world.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yeah.
And we said his resurrection proved he was the only begotten Son.
Yeah.
That whosoever believeth in him.
Yeah.
How about that? Not whosoever attends church perfectly for 25 years.
No.
Not whosoever does what the preacher tells him to do and walks through the right ritual.
No.
But whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Although sin must be judged,
yeah,
I still don't have to perish.
No.
Well, praise be to God.
Indeed.
I'm glad he left us this before he went. I'm glad he left us this before he died, was buried, and rose again. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not just life on this earth, but everlasting life. As a matter of fact, we know he's ascended into heaven, but before he left, in John 14, it said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me.
Amen.
He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place
for you.
For you.
Amen. Thank you.
For you.
Yes.
For you.
Amen.
You. 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 I don't have enough fingers, y'all.
Amen.
If I got everybody in here, there's still a whole world out there.
Yes.
He went to go prepare a place for all of us.
Right.
Said there's already many mansions. And by the way, many mansions. The way their houses, the way the Roman villa was laid out, and the way that a lot of the Jewish towns at the time were laid out. The families would oftentimes live in a huge complex, if you will. And we think people in Louisiana do that. They just live on the same street.
Right.
But they would live in a big complex where there'd be a big open area, and all the little houses, they were like huge. Now, some people try to translate that rooms, but it's more than a room. It's like every little house would face this open area. And that's what that room, that's what the word mansion means. It speaks to the individual house.
Right.
And so what he's talking about is his whole family. The whole family of God being gathered into one place to live together. Everybody in their own little place. And he says, there's already many mansions and I'm going to prepare a place for you.
That's right.
And in other words, there's room, but I'm going to make more room. And so our Lord planned on having a lot of people with him. And I believe that when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be my four no more. But there's going to be more than we can count.
Amen.
I believe that the table of the heavenly banquet is going to be well furnished with gifts. I plan on being there, by the way. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad that he told us that there was going to be room for us. And he said, and where I am, there may you be, you may be also.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank God.
Amen.
That although he judged sin and evil when he rose,
yeah,
and he judged my sin and my evil when I rose, I ain't no better than you, and you ain't no better than me either.
Right.
Every one of us in the same boat. Every one of us sinned before a holy God. But thank God that when he rose from the dead,
yeah,
not only did he have victory over death, but he condemned sin.
That's
but
right.
According to his promise,
yeah,
if I believe in him, then I'll go with him.
Amen.
And I know that I have forgiveness of my sins,
right,
because he rose from the dead.
Amen.
So why do you think it's a thing incredible? Well, I don't. I don't think it's incredible at all. I think it's very believable. I've believed.
Amen.
Have you believed this morning? Or do you still think it's a thing incredible? Brother Scott, I'm going to turn it back over to you this morning.